You have big plans for the new year? Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a unique website. My fiance actually uses it for her site. It's awesome, and it was extremely easy. You can showcase your work, blog, publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. With Squarespace, customize everything, look and feel, settings, and products using beautiful templates created by world-class designers. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. Use the offer code CAPSPACE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So we got to catch up on some news since this is our last show of the week here. And so Danny will join me for that. And then we will get, of course, to that mock trade deadline part three, finish things up. Still plenty of relative fireworks in the offing for that. But where do you want to start here, Danny?
I think we should start with Cleveland. There are a couple different things going on there. The first of which is on Thursday morning, Ty Lue announced that Tristan Thompson is returning to the starting lineup and replacing Jay Crowder. So they're going back to a more traditional thing with LeBron playing at the three, Love at the four, and Tristan at the five.
Yeah, and Jay Crowder, you have to imagine, is going to almost be kind of on the fringes of the rotation at this point because their bench unit has played pretty well together. Crowder has played very poorly. I still think that their best version of themselves would include Crowder, but it also in theory would include J.R. Smith, and he as well has not played to expectations this season. I mean, he just has not been the force shooting the ball that we've seen in the past, and whether that's just normal age-related regression with him pretty late on in his career now, it remains to be seen. The other thing out of Cleveland, of course, we discussed this a little bit on the mock trade deadline, is the rumored deal of George Hill from the Kings going to Cleveland for Channing Frye, expiring contract about $7 million this year, and Iman Shumpert, who makes about $10 million this year and next, a player option that he almost assuredly will opt into. We can comment on it once it's official in terms of like whether it's a good trade or not, but still seems to be on the 1 yard line, as you so sagely noted. That's maybe not the best place to be if you're a Cleveland fan, but I think it seems to me like the holdup is either what kind of compensation is going from Cleveland back to Sacramento, and then also I think just doing some research on George Hill and where he's at physically, because Hill under contract for another $19 million next season. Those would be the issues that they still have to work out.
The other one, which is maybe not a logistic with those two teams, but what Sacramento wants to do to clear that extra roster spot, they have a million guys on rookie scale contracts, so they could do something bigger like moving Vince Carter, or they could do something smaller like moving one of those guys. And one of the interesting parts about that has been the reporting that they're discussing deals for not only Malachi Richardson, who I think makes the most sense to be the guy that gets moved, but also my guy Scalabissiere. And I think if they're just trying to dump him, that's a big mistake, but they could do something else for him because they just have so many bigs.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't either.
That could just, this is total speculation for me, but that could, reading the tea leaves, just be the like rogue coach floating something, because I get the feeling that management seems to like him a lot better than Dave Yeager does. And it wouldn't be the first time that a coach in Sacramento has thought about trying to trade someone. So a few injury quick hitters here. Nerlens Noel, Rick Carlisle saying he's a little bit behind the schedule that they had talked about in his return from thumb surgery. So that probably means it's very unlikely he'll play before the trade deadline. It only would have been a couple of games anyway. It really seems like Noel is trying to set himself up for the buyout at this point. What do you make of this news that the NBA now will support sports gambling, in testimony before, I think it was the New York State Legislature or State Assembly or whatever they called in New York, a lawyer from the NBA saying that they basically want to get 1% of all legalized betting, and now they're going to get on board with it?
It feels like something that wouldn't have happened when David Stern was the commissioner, but Silver has been looking at a lot of different things with a different set of eyes, which is a good thing. And I'm somebody who feels like, while gambling is, you know, it's a personal choice of whether people want to do it or not, I think it's the Australian model is what people generally give it credit to, of that if it's going to exist, giving the people, the entities that they're betting on, a little bit of a cut, that seems totally fair to me.
Yeah, I guess it seems fair. I mean, this whole, oh, you know, it's really more for monitoring and administrative costs, like, okay, come on, maybe that's true to some slight degree, but the numbers we're talking about here, I think overall sports wagering in Nevada last year was about like $5 billion. Obviously, if you can do this on your smartphone in all 50 states, you imagine that number would really explode. You know, maybe that ends up being, and this is just total speculation, I'm sure people have done real studies on this, but maybe that ends up tripling or quadrupling nationwide, if not more. And so 1% of that would be, you know, $200 million. So that's $3 million per team, and causes the salary cap to go up probably about a million or so per team. So not completely, maybe a little bit more than that. So, but you know, we're not talking about something incredible here. Not as much really as the jersey ads would cause BRI to go up. But I guess if I had to decide between who would I rather have money, a casino or the NBA, I probably would rather the NBA have it and the NBA players have it.
I think we can go from there to the Sixers, couple different things. JJ Redick is still out. Looks like it'll still be at least another week and a half, maybe longer, with his leg injury. And Markelle Fultz, there's periodically just horror film video of him shooting. And
oh God.
And so we haven't really heard anything about a return date for him, but yeah, not feeling super great about that.
Oh man. And Brett Brown saying, yeah, you know, maybe he doesn't need to shoot to be effective at an NBA court. But it's starting to really trend to me in the direction of he's just going to get shut down for the whole year at some point pretty soon. You know, especially since this team is trying to win. And this is one where it probably would make sense for him to play in the G League at some point as he's returning to play. I mean, he may not even be ready there yet as far as where his shot is. I mean, he can't even shoot a free throw with consistent form right now. Like, it looks better. He'll make a few, but then there's one where he just like bricks it by like half a ball to the side and off the backboard. But I do think he probably needs to spend time in the G League just getting back to getting some confidence of being Markelle Fultz when in fact the jumper is ready, which I don't even think it is at this point. But obviously the stigma of having the number one overall pick play in the G League is not a great one, but I think everybody needs to just get over that shit and put him there so he can develop some confidence and get back to playing. But the chances of him being anything other than a massive liability for the Sixers if he does play this year seem to be extremely, extremely low.
But I think they still need to try it out because they are going to have some options this summer, both in terms of cap space, but also draft picks, their own for sure, and potentially that Lakers pick, depending on whether that transfers or not. And so the
but it's fait accompli though. If he can't even make a shot consistently in practice, like, you know what the result is going to be in a game. So like, why even bother with it?
Well, I think just the passage. Oh, not enough to. Yeah, I think you're right though that the G League would be a better place to do that than the NBA. Unless they feel like the summer league sample, which was what, like three games, was enough to get a sense of like the passing and other parts. Or are you just saying since the jump shot, which I would agree with, the jump shot is a mandatory component of his success that you wouldn't get a good sample?
Yeah, I think that's the case. And just, you know, if you know the jump shot isn't ready, like why put him out there to make it worse? I mean, you know, if he still isn't fixed by the beginning of next year, then fine, just throw him out there and, you know, let him be a 6'5 Sean Livingston for a while. But I don't see the point of just putting even more pressure on by putting him out there, because you know he's not going to help team. I mean, that's the bottom line. They're trying to make the playoffs, and just it would be a massive distraction. It's going to take everyone out of rhythm. And you know, you said you want to find out what he is. Well, I think the chance of getting an answer to that question during actual NBA gameplay that's different than what I believe now, and I think the organization probably does too, that, you know, he's just nowhere close to ready yet, is pretty low. What else we got here?
We can jump from that injured Atlantic Division point guard to one that's returning more. D'Angelo Russell he came back on Fridays, played in three games, played about 15 minutes per game, and you know, he's making his way back. Again, this season isn't necessarily a priority for the Nets. They don't have their own draft pick, and unlike with Markelle Fultz, the expectation is that he will get back to his normal form by the end of the year, which is again important for them as they figure out what they want to do this summer.
Yeah, and it'd be very interesting to see if they do not move Spencer Dinwiddie at the deadline, are they going to play those two guys together? Russell, obviously, the organization has a much larger investment in him. He's much younger. Dinwiddie is already, you know, really in his mid-20s. So, but Dinwiddie is clearly the superior player right now, and I imagine that will be the case for at least the rest of the year, even if Russell puts up a few more stats. But the Nets also don't really play guys that much. He's coming back from injury, so I would imagine that those guys will probably get staggered a fair amount, and they could use another point guard. I mean, they've been playing Caris LeVert at backup point guard to a large degree. Real quickly here, Kawhi Leonard rumored to want out of San Antonio per Jalen Rose, the reason being, in addition to this injury mismanagement, which I don't know if they mismanaged it, but that's just the theory behind behind this, is that they couldn't get anyone to come there in free agency. Well, the Spurs have really only tried to get free agents twice. Once they got LaMarcus Aldridge, who's the best free agent on the market. Good job. And the second time, they didn't even get a chance to get a meeting with Chris Paul because he went to Houston and engineered that trade. Now, I think the greater problem is that they haven't even given themselves a chance to get into the free agent market because of some of the re-signings and signings that they've done to add long-term salary. And now, by the time Kawhi would sign his designated player contract, which you imagine would still be on the table, and also, by the way, I mean, he'd be giving up a crap ton of money because he's already eligible for that designated player. I do think that's a concern that, you know, how are they going to add talent around him is a very legitimate question. That's why we've criticized their moves over the last year and a half or so, including both Gasol contracts and the LaMarcus extension, etc. But I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. If they offer him that extension and he turns it down, then the people can start fretting.
Well, I mean, that should lead to outright panic, because if he turns down that money, then to me that means he's probably leaving as a free agent.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen anybody turn it down yet, and if he's still coming back from the injury, I mean, we hope he's going to be better much sooner than that, but I wouldn't expect Kawhi to be that guy. So yeah, maybe he does want the team to go in other directions, and this is a way of expressing that frustration should this be legitimate. But it's a long, long way from being a little bit frustrated to being gone.
Quickly here in Dallas, this is something that kind of came up in the mock trade deadline. It didn't seem like anyone was too interested in it, but Wesley Matthews rumored to be available for a first round pick. But if I were another team, I would only be willing to consider that if I could dump salary at the same time. I don't think Wes is worth a first round pick on his own. I think he can do better there. In LA, Lonzo Ball has missed 5 straight with a knee injury, still has not returned to practice. So the Lakers have had some moments without him. Miles Turner, nearing a return, he's questionable for Friday's game after missing 7 games with an elbow injury.
Also, the Jazz got a disabled player exception for Tabo Sefolosha for about $2.6 million. Not sure if they're going to use it or not. Again, that can only be either for a signing or a player with an expiring contract. And they're also dealing with Rodney Hood. He missed the last 3 games with a leg contusion.
Chris Dunn had that nasty concussion as he went up and scored a dunk, but fell off the rim and hit his teeth on the United Center floor against the Warriors. That was almost a week ago. He has not made any progress, apparently, and really has no timetable for his return. It doesn't sound like he's really doing much in terms of physical activity to get through the concussion protocol. And Mark Stein also reporting that the captains picking their team's format was supposed to be on TV, but the union pushed back. That's interesting to me if that's true. He said it wasn't a unanimous pushback because many have said publicly that they actually would like to see it televised, including players, but that Chris Paul was a part of creating this format to begin with, and maybe Paul was fine with it being televised, and then once the format was agreed to, there was some pushback from union members who weren't involved in the initial decision. But that's a shame. Hopefully everyone will come to their senses and televise that next year. I think at 3 Eastern, so about an hour after we're recording this, the All-Star rosters will come out. And if you missed it yesterday, we did our own draft, which I thought was pretty fun. We'll do a little analysis of this next week once we find out what the rosters are. All right, I think that's all we got here.
Well, just quickly, Marquese Chris, we haven't talked about this.
Yes.
He's missed 6 games due to hip and viral conjunctivitis. And the hope is that he could...
Yeah, it's pink eye, yeah. Right?
But hip conjunctivitis, I was a little bit like, huh? But anyway, so he'll be back hopefully later this week and, you know, is a part of what the Suns are doing now, even though they're not winning a ton of games.
So is your company outgrown QuickBooks? Is it just too clunky for you to deal with shared spreadsheets, manual processes, bunch of old legacy systems that's costing your company time and money? Well, NetSuite by Oracle is a business management software that handles every aspect of your business and is an easy-to-use cloud platform. NetSuite will save you time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, HR, and finance and accounting instantly right from your desk or even your phone. It's really something that's going to help you scale your business. And thousands of the best-known and fastest-growing companies are using NetSuite now to manage their business. It's more affordable than you think. And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights to help you overcome the obstacles that are holding you back for free. They've got a free guide called Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth. If you have a growing company, you should check this out. You can learn how to acquire new customers, increase profits, and finally get real visibility into where your cash flow is coming from. You can check out that Crush 5 Barriers to Growth guide at netsuite.com/capspace right now. /capspace URL is you remember, we talk about Capspace all the time on the program here. That's netsuite.com/capspace to download their free Crush the Five Barriers to Growth guide today. Once again, netsuite.com/capspace is that URL. Let them know that you came from us.
Well, I would like to see what the market is like for Dennis Schroeder right now. Are there any teams that want to pick up a young point guard, maybe like a Phoenix or Knicks? You know, I think like just one first rounder probably wouldn't do it, but anything beyond that, we certainly would listen. I mean, and you know, it could be a prospect. Doesn't necessarily have to be two actual first rounders.
The Suns wish you good luck with all that.
Knicks, maybe we should just assign the Knicks to somebody else, so I don't have to do any self-dealing. But KP, you wanna take them over again? Do you have any interest in Dennis Schroeder?
I can't say much. I mean, again, Frank Ntilikina is our point guard of the future. I mean, Schroeder is so erratic. He's much improved this year and, you know, on a reasonable contract. But I think that if it is the Knicks, we'd rather take our chances, try to save our money for free agency in the summer of 2019.
Yeah, doesn't really seem to be a logical fit for him out there. All right, Dan, you want to make a proposal here?
Yeah, so I've been trying to see if there's a way to rework this trade that the Cavs that were close to the Kings with. Because now that we've traded for guard help and Avery Bradley, we also are prioritizing a center. And we really like Derek Favors. So I know we don't like to do three-way trades, but I'm trying to figure out a way to loop this in to make it happen. So this is what I came up
with. You're going to send George Hill to Utah?
We are going to send George Hill to Cleveland and Derek Favors to Cleveland. And then Tristan Thompson and Chetty Osman to the Kings. And seeing if this works, Channing Frye and Amon Shumpert and our own first rounder to the Jazz. The Jazz would have to trim $800,000. So if they could part with some minimum player to send to Sacramento, that would make it all work, if that is of interest to the teams.
The Jazz are in on this, but the Kings, the last thing we need is another center who signed up for an additional year beyond what George Hill has signed up for. So I think we're out at this point.
What if we added a second rounder? I mean, you are getting Chetty Osman.
Yeah, our front office does have a particular affinity for Eastern European prospects. That is certainly true. But we just don't see Tristan Thompson. I mean, he blocks some of our best prospects.
I mean, you don't have to play him. You could stretch him. You could waive him. I mean, the idea is more just we need to unload some salary and we'll give you some sweetener to do it. I think George Hill is probably at best asset neutral, right?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, so our goal is to give you some assets for...
But we're seeing Tristan Thompson is a negative value to us.
Oh, sure. Again, for sure. But so. I think George Hill might be too. So it's just a swing between the negatives is what we're going for.
I mean, if we're going to stretch someone, we'd stretch George Hill, and then that's only costing us because we can stretch that over 5 years because of the non-guaranteed year and end up only paying $4 million a year. That's actually a pretty good deal for us.
What if we added Zizic? Does that again, move the needle?
As much as we love the Eastern European prospects, we're really pretty full up at the center position at this point.
So I guess the Cavs' question for the commissioner is how much we have to go down the road with this Channing Frye and Amon Shumpert for George Hill trade, which we would have really liked before we traded for Avery Bradley. Like, are we stuck and committed to that, or can we use Channing Frye to go after Derek Favors, who we'd prefer?
No, I think you're probably committed to that because, you know, that deal has probably already happened by the time it's actually getting released.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the 1 yard line now, and Cleveland never loses things at the 1 yard line.
Yeah. So that wasn't a Super Bowl 49 reference.
Jazz, now that we don't have Amon Shumpert or Channing Frye, is there a way to get Derek Favors?
So, I mean, Tristan Thompson is of as little interest to us as he is to Sacramento, but that is a lot of salary to take on, you know, for someone who's going to strictly be a backup for us. He's going to put us reasonably close to the luxury tax next year if we trade Favors for an expiring. Irene, Tristan Thompson. You know, he's going to put us awfully close to the luxury tax for that matter.
I wish we had a middling salary to send back because we'd be potentially interested in something like, I'm guessing Alec Burks a negative value at this point?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. See, I would like to do something where, okay, to bridge that gap, we'd take back Alec Burks, but then it's just too much money for us. We'd be adding about $6 million in salary plus all the luxury tax. That's too much. Now we don't have Channing Frye as a neutral expiring contract.
What about Kyle Korver? To send him back. I mean, it's quite popular here in Utah.
He's played so well for us. He's one of of the few players who are happy with in his role. He's contributing to that bench.
But how different is his role going to be now that you've added Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley and potentially and George Hill?
And still have J.R. Smith. That's true. So are you still looking to get that first round pick or if yes. you're getting Korver? Yeah. So it'd be Favors and Burks for Thompson, Korver, and a first rounder.
Yep.
Now, we don't want to lose Kyle Korver with that. If we could do it as 2 second rounders, we'll do it. Do we have any rounders, I guess, before I offer them?
Your second rounders aren't the most valuable second rounders around.
They might be very valuable year from
now. Well, that's true. I guess that's a good point. I mean, at this point, I start to wonder if I can get a better deal for Derek Favors elsewhere. Is there interest in Derek Favors?
My East sellers are not particularly interested.
My West buyers are very full up at center. A lot of them like Derek Favors, but there just isn't a way to make it work.
How about the Bucks? Would the Bucks be interested in Derek Favors?
Bucks here, we would, but it's running into the same problem as DeAndre Jordan. A lot of the matching salary is a long-term bad salary, and our first-round pick is probably too valuable, and we already traded it to Phoenix, and then future ones are probably more valuable than the Cavs this year. It's going to be tough to beat that.
I don't know. I mean, I think if I can't get that first-round pick from you, Cleveland, then I'm inclined to just keep Derek Favors the rest of the season as a backup center and figure it out from there and part-time power forward.
I'm trying to think of who else might have some interest in him. Yeah, I mean, really, I think the only way you're going to get something for him, Utah, is if you're willing to take back bad salary in exchange, and then maybe you can get to getting a first rounder.
Right. I mean, I think Thompson's is just a little too much money to do that, and I'm not getting a first rounder, so.
What's Thompson's guarantee in the last year of his contract?
I think his is fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll do it with the first rounder.
All right.
I had one other one here that you guys might think about. What about to Philly for Jared Bayless and then one of the Philly younger assets or, you know, one of their overseas guys or something like that?
Yeah, 76ers here. I mean, we would do that. Depends on which asset. We would definitely rather have Derek Favors than Jared Bayless, but I guess it would depend on the asset that the Jazz are interested in.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what do you have available, Dan, that you might be willing to throw in?
So looking it over, I mean, we would do something for TLC or Justin Anderson, or I'm trying to see what additional draft picks we have.
Yeah, well, you've got Andrzej Pachnik. You got Jonah Bolden.
We would not do it for Bolden. We would not do it for Bolden. We might do. We'd probably do it for Pachnik.
What about a first-round pick?
Yeah, I don't think we'd do that. I mean, we're a middling playoff team. I think that's too high.
Well, what if we did this? What if we did it down the road a little bit? I mean, we've already gotten Boston's first-round pick this year. I mean, obviously, we traded our own, potentially.
Yeah, there's just so much uncertainty with our team between Embiid and Fultz. I mean, we definitely have high goals and high aspirations, but this could drop off. And, getting Derek Favors for the rest of the year, we probably wouldn't re-sign him, just isn't worth that kind of risk.
I mean, what's it going to cost you to get off Jared Bayless's salary next summer when you're trying to clear cap space?
Well, contracts will come off the books, more teams will have room, and we're not even sure we'll need that cap space. I mean, we hope we do, but what if we strike out in free agency and Markel Fultz still looks broken? We might be glad we have Bayless. He fills a role for us. If we could dump him now, we would, but it's not such an imperative to us right now, especially because we know that Markel Fultz is in the midst of his problems right now, so Bayless is helping us the rest of this season.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys sound motivated enough to me.
Yeah, amazing, considering it wasn't their idea to begin with.
I think we're gonna make this trade with Cleveland.
So what exactly are the parameters there?
I guess there's no point in protecting the pick. Then it's going to be Favors and Alec Burks for Kyle Korver and Tristan Thompson, and then Cleveland's 2018 first round pick.
You know what? I don't think the Jazz would have gone for it. I probably should have tried to get J.R. Smith instead of Korver into the deal, but that probably would have been a deal breaker.
Yeah,
I'm still good with it. I feel like the Cavs have almost completely turned over their roster, and hopefully the guys left are the few who like each other.
All right, probably time to talk Lakers now. I mean, they clearly have those 2018 summer aspirations. Julius Randle's a restricted free agent. Jordan Clarkson, a guy they might be trying to move. They've already given up on Deng, as we talked about. So take it away here, KP.
All right, well, is there anyone who'd be interested in Jordan Clarkson without draft pick compensation? All right, I had to ask, who is interested in taking him on with draft picks, and what's it going to take?
I'd just like to interject real quick. Reportedly, that development is a huge shock to the Lakers.
Yeah. A lot of things are a huge shock to the Lakers.
So my teams have some space. Chicago, we could just take him into space right now, but the problem is we're not really, he's quite redundant with Zach LaVine. I don't think he really helps us. And, you know, again, he's still got 2 years left after this one at 12.5 per. You know, I think he's just generally kind of in the realm of a first round pick. There are other teams I'm sure that could have expiring salary to send back. I mean, are there any teams that would be interested in taking on these last 2 years of Clarkson for even like a first rounder? I'll think about my teams. Would you be willing to do that, Lakers? Or is that just, you might as well just wait at that point?
I think we would probably wait if it's a first round pick, but we'd have the conversation.
What else do you have that you could throw in that's not a first round pick to sweeten the deal?
Does anyone like Ivica Zubac, Thomas Bryant? I mean, the one thing is we're super secretly willing to listen on Brandon Ingram if people are interested in him. You know, if people still value him as that elite draft pick that people thought when he was coming into the league.
Well, but what kind of a return would you be wanting for him? Just future draft picks?
Probably another young talent.
Yeah, I don't think that those types of trades usually, just like challenge trades like that, don't usually seem to happen.
Right.
And the Lakers are out of it this year, so getting back veteran talent, I mean, that seems like more of a summer thing. If they get who they want in free agency, that maybe they could move him or move Ball and try to get back something that would work. I mean, for my teams, no, we are not, unless we get a first round pick, we are not interested in taking on Clarkson.
And then I unfortunately probably have the other teams that would even consider it. You know, Dallas is another team that has the cap space to do it, but now we're looking at a pretty healthy amount of 2018 cap space, so I don't think we're ready to make that move yet.
Oh, what about Sacramento?
He certainly fits a Sacramento kind of player.
But also, like, they're not going to be doing it, at least the first year of those, of the two extras, 18, 19, they're not going to be doing much with their space then. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Right. And maybe send back Channing Frye and Vince Carter and some combination of those guys. I mean, someone else would have to take them over, though.
I don't see why the Kings would do that either if they're not getting a pick.
Oh, no, I was assuming they would get something, get an asset of some sort.
Yeah. I don't think the Lakers have anything that's like less than a first round pick that's still true. Worth something other than and seconds are not going to get it done for, you know, taking on over $20 million in salary over the next 2 years.
I mean, the question is whether there's someone out there that views Jordan Clarkson as like an $8 million a year player. And the answer is probably, unfortunately, that person may exist, but that person is not in this mock trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the Lakers have to hope, is that someone thinks that what Clarkson did the first month of the season is a real thing. But again, there's a little bit too much groupthink among us.
Yeah, well, and also my teams just don't really have a need for that type of player either at this point. You know, presumably it's a team that needs shot creation, but my teams are all so bad. And we don't really, like, Miami could maybe use him in theory, but they don't have any expiring contracts to send back.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this may be worth saving for the mock off season then. What about Julius Randle? Any interest out there in Julius Randle before he hits restricted free agency this summer?
So what would you be looking for there? I mean, I think first rounder just generally seems a little too rich for me.
Right. I mean, I would say second rounder and expiring probably gets it done at this point, since, you know, it's going to be tough to fit his cap hold in next summer.
Well, certainly as the Atlanta Hawks, that is something that we would be interested in. Brooklyn, do we have the expiring money?
Are the Hawks a team that would have any interest in Clarkson?
Not unless we get a first rounder.
I mean, what if it's a second rounder? What if it's us sending a second rounder, Randle and Clarkson?
You know, I don't know how well Randle fits with our culture. We've got John Collins, who would be totally redundant with Randle, that we're trying to develop. We don't want to pay Randle this year either. We're probably still in take on bad money rebuilding mode. So I don't think Randle's enough to get it done to take on Clarkson. I think that if it's just a second and an expiring, I think as Orlando, we might be willing to do that. We could send back Shelvin Mack.
We can't take on his $1 million guarantee. I mean, even that's more than we're willing to take on for next year. So it'd have to be his own. Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Yes.
he's available. Get him into the Pacific time zone for Danny to watch. Yeah, I'm sure we could equal out salary if you wanted a flower space. But I think Hazonia for Randle works straight up, right?
Yes, yes, it does.
And in terms of second rounders, could we give you the worst of our second and Brooklyn's in 2019?
You mean 2020?
Do we not have our 2019 second runner?
Yeah, you do. Oh, Orlando
and Brooklyn's?
No, they have it. They have it both times.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I had too. Yeah.
There's a really complicated list of protections on Real GM various swaps around 2019 picks for them.
Yeah, but they have Brooklyn straight out.
And they do have, and it's the most favorable, it looks like, of Orlando, Cleveland, Houston, and Portland that they have. So whatever the best of those is probably going to be pretty good, and the Brooklyn is probably going to be pretty good. So yeah, I think we'll do that.
All right, come on down. I think that Randall and Aaron Gordon together in the front court could be an interesting switchable lineup. Great. Now we've got another center, but it's not the end of the world, I guess. I think that's just to get someone with the scoring ability of Randall and someone who can switch a little bit defensively now, and we'll just hope to get him on a pretty cheap deal as a restricted free agent. Just get a look at him. I think we've got so many second rounders, and that seems reasonable, and we have no interest really in Hezonja, obviously, so since we declined his fourth year option. Peanut Gallery?
I'm sure Lakers fans are disappointed by that, but I think it's a nice move for Orlando just to take a flyer on a guy. They have so little financial flexibility. It's kind of like a second mid-level exception for them.
Yeah, you know, I think actually Randall just potentially holding on to his restricted rights if they don't get anywhere, or maybe if they could move Clarkson and Deng and or they only get one big free agent instead of two of them, that just to hold on to Randall. I think that actually would be worth more to me than the second rounder, but LA's GM, it's a new regime in town, it's not as interested in Randall, especially with him bitching about playing time.
Well, speaking of bitching about playing time, how's it going to go over in Orlando with Biombo and Vucevic? And, you know, I just wonder about how that fits even with the upside.
Yeah, I mean, Randall could play okay with Vucevic, but, I mean, we're so bad we don't care. Like, Vucevic, yeah. Biombo, those guys are all just sunk costs to us at this point. By the way, Vucevic, very available if anybody would like to trade for him.
Yeah, I definitely like the value aspect of it for Orlando. I just think it comes with some complications maybe in the locker room.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're
they're
so
worried
bad anyway,
about sabotaging like it, yeah. Such a great recap.
Yeah, exactly.
I did not say complications at the
time. How do you think that which is already sunk?
Breaking news, by the way, the Cavs, when we traded Kevin Love to the Pistons, we traded all-star Kevin Love to the Pistons.
Oh, damn, that means he could be traded for Kemba Walker.
too late. That's a shame.
Well, the Pistons may still try to do it.
All right, we'll get right back to finishing up the mock trade deadline part three after this. Support for today's show comes from Squarespace. If you're ready to start your new business, there's no reason to wait to set your plans in action. You're probably procrastinating on starting your website because you're not sure exactly how to do that. You think it's going to be a ton of work, but Squarespace makes that so much easier. My fiance uses Squarespace for her personal homepage for her yoga business. She found it incredibly easy to set up her site, and you can do the same whether it's showcasing your work, publishing a blog, publishing content. If you want to sell products and services, it's just a few clicks to get started. You can customize everything from the look and feel to settings and products, or if you don't want to customize everything, they've got plenty of templates that you can use also. It's optimized for mobile right out of the box as well. And they've got great analytics that can help you grow in real time. You don't have to install anything. You don't have to patch anything. You don't have to upgrade. They have 24/7 customer support. So if you're someone who works on your website at night, the way I work at night, they've got that support there for you. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code CAPSPACE. Easy to remember CAPSPACE. We're talking about it all the time here on this show. That'll save you 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com. Offer code CAPSPACE. Don't forget to use that CAPSPACE code and let them know that you came from us. All right, next up here. Portland, do you have any other moves that you're trying to make?
Well, we'd like to explore the market for Maurice Harkless, who's fallen out of the rotation in recent times, was coming off an excellent 2016-17 season, making about between 10 to 11 million over the next 2 years here. So that's reasonable if he's, you know, your eighth man, as we think he can be on many teams. Is there any interest in Maurice Harkless?
Pacers here.
Yeah.
We're interested. You know, do you view him as a slightly negative asset at this point, considering your cap constraints or your tax constraints, I should say?
I mean, I'd say we view him as pretty neutral, but define how negative.
Well, you know, I mean, we're interested, and there's a few different ways we could do this with all of our semi-expiring contracts and whatnot. It seems to me the simplest version is Mo Harkless for Lance Stephenson and Joe Young, which would get you completely under the tax.
Okay, I like that, and it adds Stevenson's a team option. Joe Young is a team option and non-guaranteed, so it adds no money for us next year. And you would do that straight up?
I mean,
do the Pacers really want to give up on their cap space for 2018 this easily?
Yeah, no, we probably wouldn't do it straight up. I mean, but we do think Harkless can help us. We do think he fits a need. So we're not going to be asking as much as other teams that view him as just a distressed asset. But we would like a little something more. That's why we're looking at maybe some other ways of doing it, where we would send you Corey Joseph and we would get Shabazz Napier, who's having a real nice year. Maybe you guys can't re-sign, but could have a future with us.
Well, if we trade Harkless, we feel better about our chances of potentially re-signing Napier, depending on what happens with Yusuf Nurkic.
Good luck with keeping both of those guys affordable.
When you guys hit a wall, the Knicks would love to break in here as well.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I'm listening. Knicks?
So we would be willing to send you back Courtney Lee if we could get a first-round pick out of the deal.
So we get a guy who can play, but we end up spending more money on this one.
Well, we could take back some more salary potentially.
They could take Vonleh
as well. Yeah, no, yeah, we could take Vonleh. You know, there might be some other guys that we have that you think could help you, but the core of the deal would be Harkless and a first rounder for Courtney Lee.
Yeah, I'm just not sure I see Courtney Lee as enough of an upgrade to do a first-round pick for him. So I'd rather probably continue to discuss this with Indiana.
So one other option that could make sense, and if I did my math right, this would also get you completely out of the tax, is Harkless and Vonleh for Al Jefferson.
Okay. What else are we offering here? Are we giving up here? Or are you willing to do that?
We would need slightly more, but we would do it. Do you have any additional draft picks?
So second rounders?
Or low firsts?
Well, I don't know how low our firsts are going to be.
So I guess they're all your own.
Yes, we got that Cleveland pick. So let's see here. It doesn't look like we have picks in 2018 or 2019, but 2020 we have our own pick as long as it's in the top 55.
Well, in 2019, you also have the more favorable of Minnesota or the Lakers, so that's probably going to be a late second, depending on how you feel about the Lakers, but that is an option.
Okay. These ones where it's like more favorable of like five draft picks or so
and you have the 2021 from Miami. We'll do it if you add both those picks, the more favorable of Minnesota or the Lakers in 2019 and the 2021 of Miami.
All right, we'll bet that the Lakers sign somebody in free agency. We'll do it.
All right.
So what do we got here again?
So the deal is Al Jefferson for Mo Harkless, Noah Vonleh, and 2 second rounders.
If I had thrown Doug McDermott into the mix, Portland, would that have changed things for you at all?
Nope.
That's correct.
Why?
You get
close to some special lineups if you add McDermott to their mix.
It's nice to use Al Jefferson in that from Indiana's perspective because he has the largest of the guarantee for next season. It's $4 million. So better to use him, and he's probably the worst player of those guys.
All right, let's get to some of these Hawks guys here. We've got a ton of guys available that we think could help a team. They're expiring contracts. We would be willing to take back some longer-term money, but we would want to get a first-round pick for them as well. But at least, you know, you can go back to your fan base and say, hey, these guys help you. So Ilyasova, Dedmon, he's only $6 million for next year. Bellinelli, Mike Muscala is $5 million for next year. Luke Babbitt, Malcolm Delaney. So we could do, if you wanted us to take back salary for next year, you know, you're probably looking at giving up a first unless it's like pretty minimal, or you can just get one of those guys and probably just have to give up a second per one of them, or you could get all of them and get a first rounder. Those are kind of the constructions that we're looking at here. Or some kind of an asset as well. Like Philly, would you have any interest in Ilyasova and Bellinelli?
Oh, we sure wouldn't. We were just pulling up a proposal. So I think the most likely way to do it, just because of our concerns about faults, and rather than giving up more to dump Bayless now, is something with Trevor Booker going to you? So it'd be just a matter of what the compensation would be.
Yeah. Well, if you get Bellinelli, you don't really need Bayless anymore.
Maybe not quite as much, but Bayless is obviously a better ball handler, more capable in some ways there. I guess our question, let's hash out what the difference would be if it were Booker or Bayless.
Well, so do you want Ilyasova and Bellinelli?
We do.
Okay. I mean, it does make sense for us to take that money back, but if you could get those two guys for Bayless, could we get a first rounder out of you or equivalent?
Which of our young players do you view as equivalent?
Well, I mean, we would have interest in quite a few. I think Justin Anderson is someone we wouldn't mind getting into Hawks University. Mm. Jonah Bolden, your overseas stash, you're going to be hard up for roster spots next year. So he's someone that we are very interested in, another good Hawks University candidate as well.
You are talking to the person involved in the 76ers front office who is the biggest fan of Jonah Bolden. So that one might be tough, but Justin Anderson seems like a fair type of returnist.
Well, it's got to be more than
that. Sure. But I'm saying he's like a fair piece to get us closer. And that's with Bayless, right? That we're kind of starting with.
Yeah, with Bayless. Well, we'd prefer to just do a first round pick.
Yeah, that's probably too steep for us. But we could put together, you know, some pieces like Justin Anderson and something else or two that's not quite a first rounder. Do you like TLC?
Yes.
I mean, maybe though. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, don't worry about it. I was gonna make a TLC because never mind.
We're going to chase some waterfalls. Maybe we could do those three. Bayless, Anderson, TLC for Bellinelli and Ilyasova. That's pretty salary neutral. It's within $100,000. And it's two nice assets for you, the type of assets that you guys always maximize.
Yeah. And that actually gets you off of a little money for next year as well. Could you throw in Furkan Korkmaz as well? He's coming off a Liz Frank injury.
We could do him instead.
No, I think TLC and Anderson are guys that would be good for us. I think that's a reasonably fair trade. But what else is out there in terms of being interested in Ilyasova and Bellinelli?
So Denver, we were interested only in Bellinelli because we don't need another power forward. We have a lot of them. But that was going to be more of a bigger deal involving Kenneth Faried. So we think we're probably out with the return it looks like you're getting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we could take back Faried as well. But, you know, I mean, I think we'd be much more interested in Hernan Gomez than any of those guys that Philly was talking about.
But we don't think we're ready to give up Juancho just for kind of dumping, because Bellinelli, especially now that we got Jonathan Simmons already, like, we don't have that need in the rotation. We still even have Will Barton at this point. So we don't think we have much of a need for him.
No, that's true. Our guys don't really help you that much. All right. I mean, unless there's anyone else, I think we'll do that Philly deal. All right, so that's Timothée Luau-Cabarrot, Justin Anderson, and Jared Bayless for Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli.
I'm going to congratulate Dan Feldman for getting out of Bayless's contract without giving up Jonah Bolden, because it seems like that was going to be impossible. And also because I feel like it would give you KP or I. TLC was from Atlanta, the band, so I think that's great that he's going there.
KP, what do you think of that one?
It seems reasonable to me. I mean, I think that Philly is a team that's ideally suited for this sort of trade that we've talked about in terms of getting off the, you know, Bayless's salary clearly for them, but then also getting players who can help them win this year, since that does seem to be a priority for them.
Yeah, and they actually save another $4 million next year as well in addition to Bayless. So that opens up actually, although they're probably getting into roster charges at that point, but that in theory opens up another $12 million or so in cap space for them next year.
And opens a roster spot this year. If I'm not mistaken, they still have their room exception, which could be useful to get another center.
This is true. Okay, who wants to propose something next year?
I want to just throw Will Barton out there just to see if anybody's interested, because then we could make a corresponding move for a smaller guard. We were happy to keep him around. We want to still make the playoffs this year, but if anybody has a real interest, we would listen.
What kind of price are you looking for? Could you do a second rounder for him? Would that be enough?
It would have to be a strong second, so like a bit, I would assume at least top 10, but hopefully top 5.
Heat here, we could use another guy who could get to the basket for this year. We don't have a ton of seconds to trade right now. We are...
Yeah, you're out for a while.
Let me scroll down here. Our first available second rounder is in 2022, and then we could also trade a 2024 second rounder, but maybe you'd be more interested in some of our younger guys, like a Rodney Magruder, who should be back, we hope, soon from that. Okoro White, who's going to be a restricted free agent this offseason. Those are probably the two guys that we could make available. We might also be interested, and if you guys wanted to just pick up Dion Waiters for next year, who could kind of play the Barton role.
We are
and
not.
Maybe get off. Okay. And even if you could get off of Fareed.
Oh, so you're thinking, so your idea would be Barton and Fareed for Dion Waiters?
Yeah, well, and we could send a little more back to you there as well.
So, okay, so Dion Waiters is paid, so he has another, oh God, he has a long time left on his contract.
No, he doesn't. Three years will be over. Dion Waiters has,
so let's call them about a wash for 18-19, but then he gets $12 million and 12.7. While Waiters would help, we could use our mid-level exception or something like that. We feel like that's tying her. It's an interesting idea, and it's far more interesting than we anticipated, but no, we're not ready to make that kind of a commitment, and we don't even know. I mean, he has the surgery. It's not a guarantee. So thank you for the idea.
What about
Bam, I'm assuming, is off the table?
Yes, yeah, he's looked awesome.
What about Justin Winslow off the table as well?
You know, if we got Barton back, could you also take Tyler Johnson off our hands and we could take Fareed? We could take Fareed, though.
Well, that's another $20 million almost for 2019-20 when Jokic is going to get paid. Well, he will have already been paid. I mean, if you were... No, I'm not even going to throw Plumlee in here because I know the Nuggets wouldn't. God, if we still had Darrell Arthur.
Yeah, I don't think we can get there. It's an interesting thought. I mean, we would like to have Will Barton. I mean, can we just focus back in on that? I mean,
wait, you know, I'm trying to think. We add a sweetener to Justice Winslow to make this happen. Because I think.
Oh, so you're saying just Winslow for Barton, but you guys throw something else in?
Yeah. Like, obviously, a first is too much. We're seeing Malik Beasley as the next Will Barton. That's our hope. Looking at, like, would a second be enough for you, or 2 seconds? Because you're short, woefully short on seconds.
That's a good point. So, it would be Barton 2 seconds for Justice Winslow.
Yes, and we have a lot of seconds that we can use depending on what you're interested in. We can talk about that.
We're interested in the best ones.
Okay, so we don't have our own in 2018, but we have our own in 2019. We also have Washington's 2019, and then we have Portland's 2018.
Well, so you've got, we'd love to get one for 2018. So that Portland 2018 sounds decent. And then you've got either Washington's or yours. So, and then how about the better of yours or Washington's in 2019?
Sure, that's totally fine.
All right, so Will Barton for Justice Winslow and those 2 second rounders. I would do that deal, yes.
Okay, I will do it as well.
Peanut Gallery?
I think it's nice value for the Nuggets, but... just concerned about adding salary for future years. That, you know, Denver is going to be really pressed next year. I also like the fit wise for Miami, though not necessarily the value. So I suppose that about evens out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, what do you think of Winslow, right? I get it for Denver because they just want to get some more guys. They got Simmons now too, who can just play some defense on the wing and hopefully develop a little bit. And then for Miami, it's just, all right, is Winslow really ever going to develop? He's had trouble staying healthy. And they're kind of in win now mode, so Barton helps, and they could potentially re-sign Barton as well, depending on what happens next year. They'll have full bird rights on him. All right, the Knicks have Willie Hernan Gomez, who we need to clear out something in terms of centers. We're not crazy enough to think that anyone might be interested in Joakim Noah, but Hernan Gomez is a guy we think maybe could be a starting center. It's just, it's tough with Porzingis and with all the other centers available. Kyle O'Quinn also available from the Knicks as well. But Hernan Gomez, I think, is a real asset. We'd like to get something back for him, maybe some kind of equivalent talent on the wing. I don't think we would do it for a second rounder, though. And if I need to make a proposal, Stanley Johnson, is he still on the Pistons?
He is, but he's our starting small forward now with Kevin Love, you know, traded Tobias Harris. Not a lot of other options there, and we're pretty set at center.
Well, you don't really have a backup center. I guess you've got like Moreland and Boban. I think Hernan Gomez could be better than either are those guys. I
think you're going to have a tough time convincing me he's better than those guys. Boban can play that similar type of role, and I think is better. Yeah. And I'm sure you don't want Boban's money. And Moreland can play a different style, and he's had a nice year for who he is.
Well, actually, you know, if we could get Stanley Johnson back, you know, we could take back Boban and throw in, like, Lance Thomas.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're nowhere near the ballpark there.
How about Doug McDermott?
Yeah, same. Do you still have Courtney Lee?
Yes, we do. So how would he fit into this mix?
I don't know, but we like Courtney Lee on the wing more than any of those other players you mentioned.
Well, could we do something with Courtney Lee for Stanley Johnson, so something built around that?
Yeah, if we're going to trade Stanley Johnson, I think we'd want some more. A lot of times we'll play Reggie Bullock at small forward. He actually might be still our starting small forward over Stanley Johnson, where Stanley could play some different types of matchups. So while I think Courtney Lee is better in a vacuum right now, I'm not sure he helps our team more than Stanley Johnson, just because he's more similar to Reggie Bullock, and he obviously is a downgrade long term from Stanley Johnson's potential. So no, I don't really think there's anything workable there.
What if we could take back Langston Galloway?
Now, if you take back John Luehr, we might be in business. Although, yeah, if you could take back John Luehr, we could maybe find something.
No, I mean Luehr. I mean, a first rounder is probably worth more than Stanley Johnson right now on his own. And so, if you want us to take back Luehr, that's basically, you know, a first round pick's worth of money. So unless you wanted, yeah, I don't think we got it there. Anybody else for Willy Hernan Gomez, who completely got, it's so funny, right? Like trying to trade a center and instantly the discussion turns to wings and completely uninterested. So yeah, Courtney Lee also available as well from the Knicks. I think Lee, maybe we should talk Lee first before we even talk Hernan Gomez, because I think a lot of teams might be interested in him.
Now my teams are pretty good there. I mean, New Orleans got Damari Carroll, so that was kind of the move for a wing there, and most of my other teams are pretty capped out.
The Cavs were interested, but obviously already made all their moves.
Yeah, really, I guess not that much of a market for Lee right now. And Hernan Gomez, nobody's really interested in him either, huh? At the type of price we're talking about?
I mean, Portland might have some interest in him as a cheaper alternative to Yusuf Nurkic, but that's probably something we'd want to pursue this summer, not now.
Yeah, and you guys don't really have the type of wings that we're looking to get back either.
Raptors here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've got Valanciunas.
Oh, yeah, that's what we need. Another center making over $15 million per year. I mean, would you be willing to do...
But you also have some bad contracts, yeah. Right? So we could bridge, you know, we could take Hernan Gomez for Valanciunas and maybe bridge that with some of your bad contracts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you really can handle these bad contracts.
Yeah. So I was thinking more in the Lance Thomas range than the Joe Kimnoa.
Hey, Nix, how are you feeling about Derek White? He has more years of team control. And he is guardy.
Yeah, no, not if it's just straight up. Forget it. He's already.
What about
He might be older than Hernan Gomez. No, I don't think so. What about? Would you have any interest, Toronto, in Pascal Siakam straight up for Hernan Gomez?
No, I don't think so. I think we'd rather have Siakam. We value our culture, and you know he's made some growth in our culture.
Also, he's not a center, and you already have a bunch of centers.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, the thought would be they'd be moving on from Valanciunas, and Bebe probably, so they would want a quality, cheap backup center.
Which would leave them only with Poeltl, Ibaka, and Siakam able to play center.
All right, it looks like nothing's really out there for Willy Hernan Gomez. Suns? Any interest, Suns?
I mean, we got to figure out our own set of centers first before we do anything.
Yeah. Do you guys want to offer up, like, Alex Len? I guess we haven't heard that. Yeah, Suns centers might be the place to go next here.
Well, let's start with Greg Monroe. Is there any interest in Greg Monroe?
Well, are you willing to take back bad money?
Depends what you're willing to give.
That goes beyond this year. I mean, well, because there have been, it seems like they were not really willing to do that up until this point.
Our caps, that was kind of a breaking point in the Eric Bledsoe trade. But, you know, this is a slightly different management, and recognizing the fact that we've only got limited cap space next year, you know, depending on what we do with Alan Williams, speaking of the amount of centers on our roster. I mean, we're at $17 million. So, you know, 2019 is a better time for us to make a splash in free agency. So if it's someone who can help us, you know, the next couple of seasons, but is maybe overpaid, that's something we're willing to consider.
Does Kenneth Faried help you?
Maybe.
We're not looking to give up a first right now to unload Kenneth Free just because doing that. But, you know, if the asking price is maybe, I don't know, a lower end asset than that, we could consider it. But we think that you want something more. And we don't need Monroe at all. It would just be as a vessel for the contract.
Right.
Yeah, none of my teams are interested in Monroe as a player.
One of my teams could use him as a player, but I think we recognize it's not going to happen. Bucks here.
Well, yeah,
it's not allowed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Since they just traded him away. Phoenix, would you be interested in a Hassan Whiteside for Greg Monroe swap straight up?
No, I mean, well, we might be willing to go into our cap space. I think that's too long-term a deal and too much money.
Anybody else interested in Hassan Whiteside? We're going to trade him, I swear. Yeah, other than that, I don't think any of my teams are really looking for that type of salary relief.
I was thinking about Ryan Anderson, but they wouldn't do a straight salary dump at this point with him. He can actually help them.
Kitty, why are you trying to break up the second best team in the league?
I'm not trying to break. Trading Ryan Anderson is not breaking up the Rocket.
Trading him for Greg Monroe, I think, might qualify.
That's why I stopped myself from offering it. And I wouldn't have given up an asset.
All right. Well, it looks like we're probably just going to have to buy Greg Monroe out at this point. And given the way the market is going, I just don't see there being enough interest in Alex Len to make it worth our while trading him.
Yeah.
If that is untrue, let me know. Otherwise, I guess the Suns can.
While we're talking about low end qualifying offer centers, Houston just wanted to kick the tires on Nerlens Noel. We have Tarik Black, who makes similar money, so we didn't know if you'd rather, because we just roll the dice on him to see if it's possible. But if you guys don't want that, it's fine.
I mean, would you give us a second?
Intuitively,
so you guys have the least favorable of Memphis, Charlotte, and Miami this year.
Which is actually not that unfavorable.
Yeah, right. I think that's too much for Nerlens at this point, because it'd be a whole thing to re-sign him. We have all this other stuff, but we would give up our own 2020.
Yeah, I guess we'd do that. Will Noel sign off on this trade? Nate, are you going to play the agent here?
So this is to Houston?
Yes.
Yes.
What's my role going to be, Houston?
We are going to tactically rest our centers a lot because we can do that. And if you'll be the guy who receives all of those minutes, as Tarik Black has been right now. And if we like you, I mean, we're an asset building team. If you can have the opportunity to show, and we think that the minutes you'll get with us will be better than the minutes, not more minutes, but I mean, if you're playing with James Harden and or Chris Paul, you're going to look better with us than you would look anywhere else.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen your role so far this season in Dallas, Nerlens, but it might be more minutes. And you're losing your bird rights here is not a real big loss.
Well, are there any other teams that would want to trade for me? I guess Cleveland's got Derek Favors now, so they wouldn't want to do that. You know,
Oklahoma City here, if you got bought out, we wouldn't trade for you. But if you got bought out, we would sign you to the minimum and you could play our backup center minute.
Why don't you just trade for me?
We don't have the filler salary to make that work, and we want you to be cheaper.
Well, I mean, OKC is you're trying to get off of Kyle Singler anyway, right? What if you traded Singler away to get Noel? This is his agent trying to do this behind the scenes, obviously.
If they're willing to do it without receiving a first round pick or Terrence Ferguson, we're not very asset rich.
What do they have in seconds?
Well, before we get to that, Dallas, is that even within the realm of possibility for you? Because if we're talking seconds, then sure.
So let's see. If we stretched Kyle Singler after this year, it'd be $1 million on our cap for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can probably do that. We can probably.
So we could either do our own second, or we could do we have Boston's, assuming they have one of the five best records. Either one of those.
I mean, I think you're going to we are still adding some money. I might have to get 2 seconds here.
How about both of those?
Well,
Boston's going to have one of the five best records. I mean,
yeah,
look at where Cleveland's falling off. You would be receiving that pick. And we're a little bit worried about giving away our future seconds because we already have all these first round picks owed. So we'd rather just rip the Band-Aid off right now and do it.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess we can do this.
Nerlens, would you prefer that?
Yeah, I think I'd rather go to OKC because they just don't have anyone else at backup center. I'll be the third center in Houston.
Okay, OKC, we're good. We're good with that. We can't give you Ronnie Price's money for this year, sadly. So,
if only.
All right, bring it up.
Peanut Gallery.
I still think that there's a we've long overvalued Noel in this space. So, I mean, that's probably is pretty realistic for his value. I think maybe I don't know if those second rounders. I mean, what is the highest of those second rounders going to be, like 50 or something?
Yeah, OKC, I think that pick will probably be around 50.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that that's enough to get off of Singler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and you're getting back Noel, who can play. No, I love that deal for OKC. I don't know if I like it as much for Dallas, but too bad. Mark Cuban got a little drunk and agreed.
Just wanted to give it to Noel.
Yeah, Rick Carlisle really pushed for that one.
Okay, so now can we hop back on the Spencer Dinwiddie thing? And so I have a new idea because Brooklyn made a trade. So now Damari Carroll is out. He's unavailable. That's okay. So the idea that we had is we think that Hernan Gomez for Dinwiddie, because of his team control and how well he fits with your team, and Dinwiddie's a little bit super voice, we think that is a good deal for you. So what we're thinking is you're getting Alexei Ajinsa in that Pelicans trade, and you are treating him as dead salary, correct?
Deader than dead.
Deader than dead. So in that case, Fareed for Ajinsa is only about, it's about $7 million in money for next year, but it's $7 million for a player who can actually play versus dead money on a player that doesn't even get a roster spot for you. So we think that the difference there is fair. And if you want to add some money just to clear some off, if you don't like Nick Stauskas, we can add him in to make the money work.
So the deal is Dinwiddie and Ajinsa for Fareed and Hernan Gomez?
Correct.
And does that work money-wise?
It does, in combination with the New Orleans trade.
Ah, okay. So just loop it in with that.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, Dinwiddie has played pretty well. We could also, like, extend him.
You could.
But is he really, I mean, he's 27. Is he really going to be a part of the future? Whereas Hernan Gomez could be. Dinwiddie probably actually helps us be good next year if we keep him around. I don't think we would ever get a first for him. I mean, I guess he could just continue to play really well and you just buy it a little more. But his value is only going to go down with D'Angelo Russell coming back. Yeah, I'm a believer in Hernan Gomez. I would do that. And for Reed, maybe we can get something for him next year as well. You know, we don't have a ton of cap space this offseason. Hernan Gomez is the exact type of player who's going to fit in Atkinson's system. Yeah, I think we'll do it.
It does look like, to get the money square, that we do need to have, like, Stauskas in the deal. Does that make any difference to you?
Not the slightest.
Okay.
All right, so once... go ahead.
Is that folded into the previous trade, then? Is that become a three-way?
It does become a three-way, yeah. But they can functionally be agreed to as, you know, it would be, as it would trade call, it would be done as one call. Oh, so you're thinking about the touching requirement? Yeah, you can make that work pretty easily. Oh, no, because Ajinsa. Yeah, you're fine.
Well, Denver and New Orleans would have to touch each other in some way.
Well, they would, something from Denver, like I could send a little bit of money or a heavily protected second. That's easy to do.
Fair enough. All right, I like it.
So now can I explain why I was obsessed with getting Dinwiddie for Denver? Or does it make sense?
No, please, let's hear. I mean, I guess it just, you know, having a cheap third guard option is important for them.
A third guard option that is cost controlled for next year. Because
and they just lost Will Barton.
Exactly. So that was the way that I was trying to do this the whole time, was trying to get that. And so then Dinwiddie, and he played, while I don't think this is a huge deal, he played his college basketball at Colorado, so that maybe that'll get some fans excited from Boulder. And so he's under contract then. And I think he meshes reasonably well with both Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. So I've thought of that like 2 weeks ago, and I've been fixated on it since then. I just think it's such a natural fit.
Yeah, I like it. That's a good one. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I like the fit there too. I think it makes a lot of sense for Denver. And Brooklyn ended up getting Fareed in this.
Yeah, but we gave up Ajinsa.
Right.
So we basically took on $7 million.
It's about
million.
The difference between them.
Yeah.
And Stauskas goes to Denver.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's quite enough that Brooklyn got for the difference in those salaries. I don't think it's like unreasonable, but you know, Dinwiddie is a solid young player. Hernan Gomez is a solid young player who has higher upside, but isn't quite as good now. So I'm not sure Brooklyn got quite enough to make up that difference, but it's at least in the realm of reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, it's all just, what do you think of Hernan Gomez is the big question to this. And also, you know, how real is what Dinwiddie is doing too, you know? So there's risk on both sides there.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it's from Brooklyn's perspective, you're selling high and buying low, and that is generally the better side to be on.
Yes.
Explain how. So should we get into the, like, let's just dump some tax money into people's open space? I mean, the Bulls, we've got a ton of open space still. We've got at least we're not even hitting the salary floor right now, though that's less important than in past years. Dallas has still got $13.5 million in space. That's a little bit reduced, I think, with the Singler trade. Phoenix has space. Indiana, I don't know where they're at after the trades they made, but
Indiana's almost out there at about $2 million. Dallas is still at $13 million. Denver at $3.2 million. And then Phoenix, $8.8 million, Sacramento, $6.5 million.
So who wants to dump some money? Portland, are you guys out of the tax? You're out of the tax.
We are out of the tax. We are good.
And so is Washington, amazingly enough.
Clippers, you guys haven't done anything yet, right? So you probably want to move on from Bryce Johnson just to get some operating room.
We very much do want to do that, and so that we can convert CJ Williams' two-way contract to a full NBA contract. Let's see. So I guess the question here is, who's most interested in Bryce Johnson? Is anyone like him as a player?
Well, you know, it seems like there's enough competition among all these teams that have space now. And I mean, are there any other, let's just get it all on the table here. We know who the potential receptacles are.
Yeah.
We know who is trying to move money. It's the Clippers. Is anyone else really trying to just dump cash to either get some breathing space under the hard cap or under the tax, or just get out of the tax entirely?
Well, so the Warriors are interested, and we can pay off a player, but we're not going to give up an asset beyond that. So if teams like the Bulls, who are below the floor, are willing to do it, we're happy to do that.
I mean, I think, you know, if you're a team that's going to get more, well, yeah, I mean, if you're below the floor, then yeah, I mean, if you just get the cash they're owed, that probably is a good deal at this point.
Okay, so Warriors are trying to move, that would be JaVale. Nick Young, Warriors are not willing to give up an asset to get off of him, are you?
We are not.
Okay.
So JaVale would be most likely, and if JaVale tries to play hardball with us, we can say, hey, if you're going to do that, then we will, then we'll just waive you and the Bulls will pick you up so you can eat it.
Yeah, because he can block a trade
right
this year. Yeah, I don't know why the Bulls would pick him up, though, because then the Warriors couldn't send them any money for doing that.
We will threaten it and we'll think that he'll get scared and buy it.
Yeah, if I'm JaVale McGee's agent, I'm not agreeing to it. You have to just cut me and then I can write my own ticket.
Is there anywhere that has cap space that you would be willing to go?
Let's see. Well, I'm not going back to Dallas, I can tell you that. Indiana, do you have any use for me? Could I actually play there?
We already have Lance Stevenson. Probably would. You know the rule about how many knuckleheads you can have in a locker room.
Oh, yeah, because the best team in the league has a couple and they're okay.
And if they see Noah Vonleh as a center, then they're probably pretty full up there.
Yeah,
that's a good point, too, and they likely would. Yeah, anybody else who's just trying to cut money, because it sounds like the Warriors just can't even do it.
The Cavs would like to unload Alec Burks and might even be willing to take a lesser player who's still making some money, but less than $10 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's, whew. And what are you willing to give up there, though, Cavs? I mean, you're pretty much out of assets.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
we can't attach an asset. That's why we're sure we won't just be able to dump him. But, you know, it's almost just about the money at this point. So if you have a bad contract that's worth less, it doesn't even need to be expiring. It could be 2 years left. We don't want to take on additional years. Although maybe we would if we got off enough money this year where we're deep in the cap, into the tax, we could take a 3 or 4 year contract.
Well, let's just limit this to teams that want to cut money this year that have just purely expiring contracts and are going to just trade someone in space. I think that's to simplify this. Otherwise, we're going to get off the rails a little bit. Does Cleveland have anyone that just is expiring that they want to get rid of just to reduce the tax burden?
Don't think so, but we made so many moves, it's tough to know who's on our team anymore.
I mean,
Jose Calderon. You could get rid of Jose Calderon.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Pelicans as potentially being one of those teams as well, just to get a little bit. I think we got a little bit in the trade, but to get a little more breathing room would be useful.
So now that we have George Hill,
I think they actually added a little money in that trade.
Oh, so then definitely.
I have them. Yeah. I have $26,324 below the tax line.
This is the Pels.
Yeah.
I could see Tony Allen perhaps being someone that they might look to move at this point, especially after adding Joe Harris.
Yeah, and they've also, I mean, the hard cap is impacted too because of that all those weird holiday incentives.
Yeah, we'd feel a little bit bad about Tony Allen, but he, at this point, I mean, we don't know exactly when he's going to be healthy and everything like that. And Ian Clark and Jameer Nelson are actually playing for us. So yeah, if somebody wants to take him on, we can pay his salary and that gives us a little breathing room to sign somebody.
All right, so there are enough teams out there. Who has the most money to get rid of? I mean, Cavs, would you be willing to throw in Ante Zizic and Jose Calderon? That'll reduce your tax bill a lot. And this is Bulls speaking here. They're the only one of my teams with space. If you would give us Zizic or Osman, we would take Osman too. In fact, yeah, I think we would be willing to take Zizic, who I kind of see as like negative salary right now, and Calderon and Osman all off your hands if you want. That could really reduce your tax bill. Just take them into space. And you get a decent trade exception there. there too, like $5 million.
Well, and they could be huge on the buyout market.
Yeah. That opens up a lot of roster slots for you too.
There is some intrigue there. I'm not sure what point guards are going to hit the buyout market, because right now all we have left at point guard is Isaiah Thomas, George Hill, and Jose Calderon. I guess Wade plays there, and LeBron.
And Bradley.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're fine. Yeah, Bradley can guard once. Yeah, I think you're good there.
Okay, so that's all our young players. We really are going all in here for LeBron, aren't we?
I mean, but, you know, think of how much money you could save. I mean, if you get rid of those three guys, that would save you. I mean, I don't know exactly where you are in terms of the tax, but that would probably save you like almost $20 million.
Yeah, if we're gonna give you both of those young guys, we'd like to get like a second rounder back.
Well, the Bulls' second rounders, you know what? We don't give a shit about our second rounders. We just traded one of them for Cameron Payne. We'll trade him away and get rid of Anthony Randolph.
$500,000, man. They're valuable.
Can you send me any cash still, Cleveland? If you throw in all the rest of your cash too, and then maybe we could give you like one of our crappier second rounders back.
I will note that Chicago has New Orleans' second this year.
Not crappy enough.
And does not have their own or the next 2 years.
Okay, we have $2.1 million left in cash. Can you guys receive $2.1 million?
Yeah, I think they can receive 2.5.
Yes. We got the Pondexter move. We can get that back still. And then as far as which second, we would give you our 2020 second rounder.
Man, is there anybody else out there who could take these players who's not driving such a hard bargain? We'd like to get a little, you know, these are two promising young players. This seems like a little too much.
Suns have the space to do this.
So do the Mavs.
We do. I mean, I don't think the Mavs are interested because that takes too much of a chunk out of their free agency, and they think they can be players next summer. Phoenix has maybe a little more interest, but I just don't know that I see Jiddy Osman and Zizic is great fits for what the Suns are trying to do here. So,
all right, I guess we have to do it. We save, you know, all that money, and we can use that to buy second rounders and get comparable assets when we're ready to have them.
One more before. What about the Hawks? Or do they just have so many young guys now that they don't give a shit?
Well, the Hawks can't do it. They got rid of all their expirings.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah, and it's also, I think we actually took on more money, so we're over the cap.
You're like 900, you're a million under right now according to my calculation. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, all right, let's do it. I love it.
And I feel terrible about this trade, but it's just so much money.
Yeah, it's just really hard to see Osman. You know, Osman and Zizic have had some small chances to contribute, but I think their value is much lower than it was even 8 months ago because they just, you know, have not been able to get into Cleveland's rotation at all.
When LeBron leaves, this Cavs team is going to be a mess.
Oh, that's never happened before.
Although I guess that was true even before we started this, so I might not have made it worse. I might have.
Wait, so Chicago got three players and gave up none?
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to dump some people, huh?
Pondexter is obviously an easy choice. I guess Joe Johnson is the other. I don't know if you want to try and if there's any takers to try to trade for him.
Yeah, no, we could waive Joe Johnson. He'll be happy about that.
Also,
Cavs are going to sign him.
Cleveland now has four open roster spots for buyout. Cleveland's roster is going to be like 10 new players after the deadline.
Sounds about like what it's going to actually be.
the current holdover players on the Cavs roster right now: LeBron, J.R. Smith, Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Jose Calderon, Jeff Green, Dwayne Wade.
No, Calderon's gone.
Oh, Calderon
was in that Chicago trade. We just traded him.
Oh, was Burks not in that trade?
I wish. Right? Oh, Burks wasn't in that. Yeah,
never mind. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Calderon, Ante, and Osman.
Wait, so are the Suns not going to be so ridiculous now?
Wait, yeah, the Suns thought that we were having to take on Alec Burks. Sorry, the Suns were, I mean, it's probably too late now, but you got Osman and Zizic for taking on $1.5 million in dead salary?
He also has to pay Osman and Zizic.
Yeah, that's fine. I would have done that, though.
Yeah, that's why I thought you would have. Where were you?
I was confused.
Like I said, I feel terrible about that trade.
Wait, I think you have to say the Feldman phrase.
Sorry, I'm still too focused on Ernie Grunfeldman to remember what it is.
Wait, we had a deal.
Yeah, you did that to me. I'm backing out. KP, let's talk. What are you going to send me for those three?
I mean, I would do it.
I'm sending a second rounder, by the way.
I would do it for either of one of the two prospects.
Well, I want to unload both rather than pay both this year with the tax, so I'd rather get a better draft pick.
Okay, so what did Chicago gave you? What?
Let's forget what the let's not use that as a baseline because I got raked over the hole. Give me, do you have any extra like real low first rounders or a high second, or I guess you have your own maybe.
They also have what's probably going to be Charlotte.
Yeah, I could just cut this and just everyone can just believe that I got that deal as the Bulls, and we'll just move on. No one will ever know.
I mean, I don't think we want to give you this year's second round pick. We'd give you next year's second round pick.
What about Charlotte's, KP? Because they're probably going to get that.
The second most favorable of Memshaw and mine. Yeah, Charlotte didn't end up. They traded.
They kept Kemba.
All
right, give us your 2019 and your 2020.
No, this is way too much. We'll give you our we'll give you our 2019.
Okay, fine. It's still better than.
All right, deal.
Than I did with Chicago, I think. Yeah, New Orleans is better. Yeah.
We had a deal!
Again, I still feel terrible about this trade, but a little better now.
What did the difference end up being? Just that it was like a better second rounder than I was willing to give up?
Yeah, so I got Phoenix's 2019 second rounder instead of New Orleans this year.
All right. I don't really want to sweeten my offer that much. We'll just hold on to our space. We could always just like make some waiver claims or, you know, save some money. Waste it. All right, anybody else trying to get out of the tax? Bulls, we got a lot of cash here. New Orleans, Tony Allen, can you?
We will do it, but we will pay his salary, his remaining salary, which actually makes you money.
Yeah.
But we're not giving up an asset. You already have our second round pick.
That's true.
What are the CBA rules in terms of trading you Nick Collison, having you cut him, and having us hire him as an assistant coach?
I mean,
yeah, OKC is still got to reduce their tax bill.
But they got rid of, well, let's see, Singler for Noel.
We lowered our future bill more than our current bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still want to get off some money, I think. Like, Jakari Johnson or someone you would definitely want to just move, I think. Josh Huestis might be someone
we'd like to keep Huestis, at least for now. We think that he has value for us this year. Like, that's what's hard. That's why Nick Collison is potentially the most interesting if he's willing to become an assistant coach.
Yeah. Well, would you rather have Quincy Pondexter instead of Josh Huestis? Is there anyone on the Bulls that could be who could fill a role for you?
That would increase our bill, and we're not interested in that. No, I will take assessments from the Peanut Gallery on if they think a Nick Collison thing is realistic. If it is, I'll do it. If not, I won't. But that would be straight up with cash. It wouldn't be. We could give you a little extra, but it wouldn't be for a pick.
I'll tell you what, OKC, we've got Justin Holiday available. We'd be willing to trade him to you. Get back Alex Abrines if you could also throw in an asset as well. That would save you about $1.7 million against the tax this year and get you a much better player.
Huh, that's an interesting idea. So with Abrines, we lose the ability because we have team control on him after that.
And I'll tell you what, you could throw you if you want to throw in Huestis too. We wouldn't mind getting a look at him. That would reduce your bill further. At that point, you'd have Holiday, so that's he can actually play for you, unlike Abrines. And Holiday would probably if he didn't start, he would play a major bench role. But what do you have in terms of assets that you could give up there?
Well, we would consider Huestis an asset in that deal because we traded two. He's an expiring contract. It's not a big deal because we traded 2 seconds to get rid of Singler. So we're not exactly rich here, and it's not saving us a ton of money. Yeah, so we traded two 2018 firsts. We could do our 2019 first, but our second, obviously not first. But protect it, so if it's one of the 20 best, then we won't keep it. But we think we'll have one of the 10 best firsts, or even the equivalent of lottery protection. So you get it if it's if we make the playoffs, you get the pick.
All right, what's the pick again? One more time.
It's our 2019 second, assuming that we make the playoffs. If not, it converts to nothing. It doesn't cost you anything. You're at the end of this rope.
Yeah, and we get Abrines too. Yeah, I guess we'll take Abrines because I think getting him as a restricted free agent could help. Maybe that he could maybe be a valuable player for us. We kind of want to tank this year too, secretly. That's maybe part of this as well. Holiday is a little bit older. I guess we'll do that unless there's any other suitors for Justin Holiday right now that would be willing to offer us more. Thank you, Dan. All right, let's do it. Let's mark this one down.
So is anyone willing to take Bryce Johnson just for his cash the remainder of the season? No one? I mean, Dallas might be willing to do that.
Well, is Chicago still under the floor? Because if Chicago's under the floor, then that cash, because it doesn't cover his full salary, but it gets close.
Didn't they fix that loophole, though?
Yeah, to some degree, but it still helps a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Chicago, we've got plenty of room. We would do that. Oh. And we'd probably just take him into our trade exception.
Well, you've still got all the cash, right?
Yeah. How much cash can you spend?
Well, I have it that they have $500,000 to send.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it.
Well, that's his salary. He makes $1.3 million or past the season.
Okay, but I mean, that's just doing it out of the goodness of our heart.
But you're still getting the $487,389 remaining. I mean, you're still getting the value of paying less in terms of your salary floor payment. That's what you're getting out of this.
Yeah, I think I still need more though, because I mean, unless you think you can offload him to someone else, I mean, I think I've got more leverage. Like, you have to do this.
I think so. Dallas is willing to do it for $487,000 for the remainder in cash, but that's self-dealing there.
That's a great way of pulling leverage. I would be willing to do
this.
Well,
does Dallas have a roster spot to do it with?
They do.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think the Bulls do actually. So yeah, that probably makes the difference then. Yeah, just do the deal with Dallas.
Okay.
I mean, I guess the only thing we could do as the Bulls is, if you wanted to give us a second rounder, we could send back someone who might actually be okay for you this year. You know, would you have any interest in like a Jerry and Grant?
No, I mean, I think we're good with our, because we want to convert CJ Williams to a contract.
Yeah. So you need the roster spot as much as you need the space. Okay, there it is then. I can't believe the Clippers got off that easily from the Bryce Johnson deal.
All right, go ahead, guys. If we're done here, I think that the thing that we need to do is walk through what the Cleveland Cavaliers are now, because while I like a lot of the moves that they made, this is a completely different team.
Oh yeah, it's who the hell is on this team anyway?
Why don't we talk about something else for a minute while somebody tries to figure out who's on this team?
Well, yeah, just how about big takeaways here? For me, it was that this was almost because of the fact that there aren't that many guys clearly available, and so many teams are not clearly trying to go in one direction or the other, and so many teams are trying to dump salary, and we don't really have a great idea of like what the price should be for dumping salary right now. I found this by far the most difficult year to do this, and we ended up with some deals, but it was just like, it was such a slog to get there, it felt like.
Yeah, I think generally we might have the price to dump salary, especially multi-years, might have been a little too cheap, except for the Jose Calderon, Chetty Osman trade, but otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the difference between dumping it this year and dumping it in future years, because there's a lot of teams with cap space and not that many trying to get off money for this year, but next year, you know, it's going to be much more of a seller's market in terms of selling out cap space.
Yeah, I thought it was also telling that we didn't see any of the truly toxic 2016 offseason contracts get moved.
Yeah, I mean,
Tristan Thompson. He's not toxic.
And that also wasn't summer 2016 either. But yeah, I mean, you know, no Mahinmi, no Noah, no Dang, no Biombo. I mean, it was just, and none of their teams, I mean, it seems like teams, because a lot of those teams are bad too, and don't necessarily have like a lot of ways to get better right now, where it's just like, maybe they're just going to have to eat those, you know? I mean, maybe that makes the most sense rather than just giving up assets to get off of those. And then you get some cap space, but you're not that good anyway, and the cap space doesn't help you. So, I mean, we didn't see any of those eight-figure 2016 contracts get moved other than Harkless.
Right. And one thing I thought was interesting, and I think it kind of altered the tenor of this, was the proactive deals by Washington and Portland, because those teams could have been some of more desperately shuffling money. I mean, I've thought Washington is going to be that team for a while now, but they got it in that trade that I think worked out well for them with Ennis and Evans. And then with Portland, they got it in the larger Mo Harkless deal. So if those teams were added to the like dumping side, I think that changes the dynamic pretty significantly.
Were any of you guys just disappointed at your inability to do anything?
I mean, I think that, you know, if you're trying to clear 2018 cap space, that's where you're going to be disappointed. And I tried to do that with the Clippers, and it was just no traction whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, especially because you have a guy who goes, you're trying to move Gallo 2 more years. I mean, Philly was able to do it. But yeah, I mean, I think if you've got like 2 more years of bad salary and you're trying to clear 2018 cap space, yeah, that's where you're going to run into problems. I mean, the Lakers similarly had no traction with Clarkson for that same reason.
So my answer is no. I felt like I had an easy time making moves. And I think it might, because I had the Eastern Conference teams, I think the East teams maybe could be more aggressive in a way, because some real big goals are achievable, and you're not going to run into the Warriors before the finals. I think maybe there's a little bit more in the West of teams don't want to push in this year because you don't even know when you're going to match up with Golden State and get put out of the playoffs.
Also, teams in the West just don't have that much flexibility as the West buyers, you know, like Minnesota. Yeah, I'm sure Minnesota would like to get a little bit better, but they're so constrained by everything they have. I think they're going to be more on the buyout market, the Spurs or the Spurs. OKC, I think, was actually more active in this than they probably will be, though Sam Presti has tried to make moves before. But yeah, I think that's a fair note. And those teams just also have more movable salary than the teams in the West do.
Yeah. And I think they're like, for teams, it's just there aren't that many teams that really want to upgrade their team for this year right now for some of the reasons Dan just talked about. But if teams were willing to do that, I think, you know, there are guys available for pretty cheap prices that I think could really help. I mean, James Ennis and Tyreke Evans for, you know, a first, and you get off of Jason Smith. I mean, that's not bad. I felt like the Spurs, and I agree with you, Danny, they're probably not going to actually do anything, like a team that really could benefit from being more aggressive with where they are. But maybe now with Kawhi's injury situation, they don't necessarily feel as much of an impetus. But the Spurs in particular are a team that I thought could have gotten a lot better and, you know, didn't do much here.
I've got the Cavs roster, if you guys are ready.
Let's hear you. Yeah.
So at guard, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, George Hill, Dwayne Wade, and Alec Burks. The forwards, LeBron James, Tobias Harris, Jay Crowder, and Jeff Green. And at center, Derek Favors. I'm not sure if I'm missing somebody, but that's only 10 players. So Cavs could be real active in buyouts. I obviously would be an appealing team. And I do think, because of all the things we always talk about with centers and saw it in this deadline, if there's going to be a position you need to address in the buyout market, I think it should be center.
Dan, did you say J.R. Smith?
I did not. So, okay. So that's who I was missing.
Also, if things actually played out like this, where they got off both Tristan Thompson and traded Kevin Love for non-centers, maybe what would happen is Nerlens Noel would have voided any deals and tried to get to Cleveland as a buyout candidate.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. That seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Cavs were really active. Detroit, I mean, getting Kevin Love, that's interesting. I mean, I think they got the most talent in that deal. Love, but that team is now basically just like Love and Drummond, and I guess I kind of trailed off there.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If you go back to them letting both KCP and Marcus Morris go last summer to get Avery Bradley, that's, you know, then throw in Tobias Harris with him, that's three of your five starters you've ended up losing at that point to just get Kevin Love.
Yeah, I mean, if Reggie comes back, maybe they're not that, but they just have a gaping hole on the wing now, though. They still have Stanley Johnson, I guess, better hope that he develops a little bit, but they also fix their tax concerns for next year, and, you know, they don't have to worry about losing Avery Bradley or overpaying him. So, I mean, I thought it was a good trade for Detroit, but they kind of look funny right now. And we'll kind of see now what Love really has left in the tank as a number one option. And then Utah is crazy right now, too. Like, what's their roster look like?
Yeah, so a starting five of Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Mirotic, and Gobert, with a second unit of Thompson and Udo up front. You still have Jonas Jerebko to play the stretch four. And then on the perimeter, you've got Neto, Cephalosha, obviously, right now, Kyle Korver, and that's kind of about it. Royce O'Neal, I guess, is still part of the rotation.
I like what Brooklyn did. I mean, we traded away Carroll, but we got New Orleans lottery protected 2018 pick. And also the fact that it's only top four protected in 2019 is pretty good, because if New Orleans somehow doesn't make the playoffs this year, which is looking less likely, but still is possible, then it stays this year and goes next year, and they could be out Cousins and maybe Davis. And then we got Wancho. We had to take on some extra money. There's an opportunity cost for this summer to take on money, but we didn't take on anything beyond 2019 in terms of bad salary, picking up Ashik and Fareed, and then we flipped Aginta for Fareed. So I think that's a pretty good asset play to get Hernan Gomez and a first at the cost of Carroll, who wasn't in our long-term plans, and just some more space in the summer of 2018, which is not the end of the world. You know, we only cost ourselves basically about, you know, $7 million in 2018 cap space. I like that.
In and Dinwiddie
for Brooklyn. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that actually makes it worse. Forgot about that part.
Yeah, I was pretty happy. I mean, with Denver, basically my goal was just get as many wings as I can, and so I got a couple wings and got Dinwiddie, so I was happy with that.
Yeah, no, I think like Simmons and Winslow is good, and just, you know, Barton was probably going to leave and didn't really fit into their salary structure if he returned, so it makes some sense there to get some cost control guys, fix things, and also just get some flyers. How does Washington look now?
So the Wizards just made the one trade. They dumped a bunch of players who were making money and not really playing for them this year. Tim Frazier, Chris McCullough, Sheldon Mack, and Jason Smith. And, you know, they'll miss that first-round lottery protected pick, but they got Tyreek Evans, who fills a need as a backup point guard and can help on the wing, and James Ennis, who will help on the wing and be able to allow them to use lineups with two of Ennis, Otto Porter, and Kelly Oubre a lot more often.
And also, if Porter's hip injury continues to linger, that's big insurance for them.
Yeah, I mean, Washington actually probably now has like one of the best benches in the NBA, it seems like.
Well, it
at
also
least
seems
until they
like
lose Tyreek Evans for nothing.
Whoever they add to their bench drops off as soon as they get to Washington. And yeah, that's the concern next summer is Ennis and Evans will be free agents, and maybe the Wizards can't afford them, but maybe that's the time they look to dump Gortat or Mahim Mee or Markieff Morris and something opens up. So it's nice to have them in a little, I guess.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. This, of course, is always a pleasure. Thanks again. I owe you guys some big dinners when next we meet, or in the case of Feldman, when I never see him again. You are invited to the wedding, though, Feldman. I hope you can at least make it to that.
I hope to be there.
But yeah, thanks again, Kevin Pelton from ESPN, Dan Feldman from NBC, and Danny LaRue of this podcast, among many other things. And if you like this, of course, we do the mock trade deadline, or I'm sorry, the mock offseason. This was the mock trade deadline, which is in a similar vein. And got more great content coming up for you through the trade deadline and in the playoffs. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you all next time.
I feel like